I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Today we come to the concluding part of the series of teachings we've been having on the principle of Christ. And we've been studying obedience in various ways. We have seen the physical side of obedience, and we have also seen the spiritual dimension to disobedience. We have seen that obedience is the nature of Christ. Anyone who calls himself a born-again Christian must, it is imperative, must be living in perfect obedience. Anyone that you see that is disobedient is not a child of God. He is a child of the devil. Whether it is disobedience at home, whether it is disobedience in the place of work, whether it is disobedience in the office, disobedience at any level is a manifestation of the principle of Lucifer. We mentioned that God is not interested in our doctrine. He is interested in our principle. Because of this, we encouraged us that wherever you are, the first thing you should do is identify who has authority. Identify who has authority. You don't have to like him to obey him. Don't say, I don't like that man. Don't say, I don't like what my supervisor is doing. I don't like what manager is doing. I don't like what my father is doing. Therefore, if he gives me an instruction, I will not obey. You must not say that. Because obedience is a principle. It has nothing to do with your emotion. Are you following along with me? Oftentimes we justify disobedience by becoming emotional. And we say, see what he did to me. See what he did to me. Because of what he has done, I will not obey him. Whatever he wants to do, let him do. You are a child of the devil. God wants us to understand this because disobedience opens the door in our lives for witchcraft spirit. And we saw the example in the life of King Saul. Disobedience brought him into witchcraft. And the anointed of God ate the last meal in his life in the house of a witch. And from there he went to fight the Lord's battle. Obedience is one key thing that you and I find most difficult to do. We find it easy to give. We find it easy to sacrifice. That is why God has to remind us obedience is better than sacrifice. We can sacrifice because even in the sacrifice there can be an element of self-will. Like Cain sacrificed. But the sacrifice was one of self-will. Like Saul sacrificed. The sacrifice was self-will. And Ananias and Sapphira sacrificed. I mean, when people sold their property and brought the money, is that not a sacrifice? But the sacrifice was self-will. God has not called us to sacrifice. God has not called us to give. God has not called us to walk. God has called us to obey. Because even the work that we say we are doing for God, we can't do any work for God. The work has been finished at the foundation of the world. He has finished his work before you and I were born. Are you getting my point? All he wants us to do is to listen so that he will say, okay, this is what is next. This is what is next. Step into this place. Move into this place. Stop. Don't move. Don't do anything. And that we find it difficult. Because our society has been structured by the devil that if you are not rebellious, then you are looked at as someone who is stupid. If you cannot break the law, if you cannot be smarter than your boss, then they say you are not sharp. That is the way the devil arranged it, so that rebellion can come naturally to man. And once man yields ground to rebellion, he loses God. So to make us obedient, to teach us obedience, to break down our self-will so that we can become meek and submissive, God allows suffering to come into our lives. God has not chosen us in a place of comfort. God has not called us at this particular phase of our existence to lead and to live a comfortable life. He has not. He has called us the way he called Jesus. And the way Jesus lived is the way that Apostle Paul lived. That is the way Peter, James, and John lived. And God says, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Unfortunately, we have been inundated with false messages by false teachers who keep telling us that your lot as a Christian is enjoyment, it is comfort, you are king's kid. Therefore, if a non-believer can have a Mercedes 500, as king's kid, you should use Mercedes 550. Because you are the son of the King of Kings. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not knowing that in doing that, they are destroying Christianity in your life. When you gather Christians together and you tell them to reject suffering, you are destroying spirituality in their lives. Because Christianity does not thrive in the midst of comfort. Christianity withers where there is comfort. Christianity dies where there is too much enjoyment. The worst enemy of Christianity is prosperity. The worst enemy. If you want to kill Christianity in the life of an individual, don't make him suffer. Give him 50 million naira. Give him a mansion. Give him cash and tell him when you finish that, come back for more. Go back in 2 weeks. He has stopped praying. He has stopped reading the Bible. He has stopped fasting. He is now becoming proud. He is now choosing his friends, the people he will relate with. He is now choosing where he will go. He is now telling you he cannot go with you because that car has no AC. He's not looking at your house and saying, okay, is this where we are going to sleep? They say, yes. Isn't there a good hotel in this area? Don't worry, I will pay. Let's go and lodge in a hotel. I will pay. Don't worry, I will pick the bill. The moment you give him prosperity, you've destroyed Christianity. Satan understands that. That is why we have so many Christians going to church and corruption is not reducing in Nigeria. Because they are not Christians, they are churchgoers. So when you are going through difficulties, when you are going through affliction, it does not mean that God has forsaken you. As a matter of fact, the times that you are closest to God are those times that things are not working out the way you want. Because when things are not working out the way you want, then it is working out the way he wants. but you do not understand. And that's where we need patience. Is somebody going along with me? Again and again and again, the New Testament makes it clear we are going to suffer persecution. If you are going to be a Christian after the heart of God, you are going to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, and they that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. There is no way. You cannot escape it. But when we begin to teach people that suffering is a curse, that poverty is a curse, that you are not supposed to, we are telling them indirectly to water down. So when the guy gets to the office and they want to do something evil, and as a Christian, he is not supposed to participate. He is supposed to take a stand against what they are doing. He will remember what they told him in church, that he's not supposed to suffer. So he will compromise. He will compromise. Many pastors today are pastoring backsliders. People who are backsliding at heart. Look, it is not only the Muslims who are stealing the money in Nigeria. The Christians too are stealing. Born again Christians are stealing the way that Muslims are stealing. Everybody, they are all stealing. Why? Because they've told them that God does not want them to suffer. A Christian is supposed to stand in his office and say, I'm sorry, sir. Sir, what you are doing there, sir, it is wrong. That is corruption. That's embezzlement. That contract is not... what is wrong with you? You can... Well, Oga, there is nothing wrong with me, but I just want you to know I'm not part of it. Mr. James, if you frustrate this deal, I will deal with you in this office. Okay, whatever you can want to do, but I'm not part of it. And because of that, Mr. James is demoted. And because of that, Mr. James is transferred from that particular department to an irrelevant place. But because Mr. James does not want to suffer, his pastor has told him, when you are in such a situation, you apply wisdom. That's what they tell him. That is, you apply wisdom. So Mr. James, if he's one who does not want to suffer, he will apply wisdom. Say, well, sir, all I'm just saying is that it has to be done in a way that nobody will... I'm not saying you should not do what you want to do. Okay, all I'm just saying as a Christian, I'm not the one who's going to sign on it. He said, but who said you should sign? Just keep your mouth shut. You know what you're doing. It's okay, sir. It's okay. But I just want you to know it has to be done in a way that it must be right. And then he compromises. And when they finish, they say, James, this is your own share. And James collects the share. He said, well, I didn't join them. They just gave me the money. It's a miracle. So he goes to church, he gives the church 10%, saying, now me and God share them. If it is stealing on that day, all of us be account. Say, when I collect them, pastor to take. That is what is going on. But if we are telling Christians, obedience to God says, thou shalt not steal. And God says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't join them. Even if they are going to kill you, a lot of Christians will suffer, but evil will not thrive in the land. Are you following along with me? Because the manager himself will be careful. The second Christian says, Oga, it is not only James you are going to transfer, you better get ready to transfer me, because I'm not part of it. And the third Christian says, Oga, I am not part of it. Oga will stop it immediately. He will stop it. The Bible says we must prepare our minds to suffer. Now, I do not know at what level you encounter your suffering right now. But I'm telling you, that suffering is for a purpose. If you are a child of God, it is not Satan that is making you suffer. It is not, Satan has no hand in your case. You understand? Let us stop glorifying the devil in the church. And any small thing we see the devil, any small thing we see the devil, it is not Satan. It is your Father in heaven who is doing it. He is the one who says he has chosen you, but not received. He has refined you in the furnace of affliction. Why? Because he wants to teach you obedience. Let me ask us a question. All of us went to primary school, went to secondary school. The measure of obedience that you have today, that you know this is right and this is wrong, did you learn it because somebody gave you a sweet, or you learned it because somebody spanked your ball? When did you learn? When you are spanked. Man does not learn when he's enjoying. Man learns when he's suffering. Your prayer is this. When you are going through difficult times, your prayer is, Almighty God, I know you are teaching me something through what I am suffering. I pray that I will understand what you are teaching me and I will not lose it. Are you getting my point? Almighty God, help me to understand what you are teaching me right now through this situation that I'm going through. Because if you do not learn from what you have suffered in vain. Every suffering, every affliction, every denial in your life is teaching you a lesson. Pastor Mary shared a proverb with us last Sunday. I will tell you again. One of my aunties used to say, you have never suffered. You say you are wise. Who is your teacher? Where did you learn wisdom? Iyawoje Ologbon. Ibolotikobon. Tanitisha Talopo Ologbon. You have not suffered. It is suffering. If you see people who are, you can call somebody or something today, tell them to tell you their life history. And you will see that fellow has gone through what is called hell. Unfortunately, some people go through that suffering. When they now go through into abundance, they forget what they have suffered. You see, it's like a woman in childbirth. Once the child comes out, she forgets the suffering. But God does not want you to forget. That's why once in a while, he takes you back into a refresher class. Are you getting my point? That is why it's like, Almighty God, I thought by now all this wahala will be over now. This is another one. You are going back for a refresher course. God telling you don't forget. Because man finds it easy to forget. You put a man into Asoroth. Before the man got into Asoroth, he tells you, I had no shoes. You put him into Asoroth. The man has forgotten every other person who has no shoe in Nigeria. He doesn't believe they exist. He doesn't believe they exist. He lives in a totally different world, a world of fantasy, a world of make-believe. He has forgotten. So he can suddenly wake up and say, from now on, you will be buying petrol at over double the price you were buying it before. And people say, ah, this is too much. I don't give a damn. He has forgotten. When he comes out of the place, he will now face reality again, that he's an ordinary human being. But right now, he has forgotten. God does not want you to forget where he took you from. God does not want you to forget that things can go wrong when you have done nothing wrong. Look, one of the problems that our modern day pastors are causing in the church is to tell Christians that if you just get born again, and you come to church and you pay tithe, and then you pay first fruit now, and then you bring your firstborn and they dedicate your, they redeem your first, I don't know where they are redeeming the firstborn from, but they redeem it anyway, and they collect money again, and you do everything they tell you to do, your life will be, you will not have any problem. You will not have, everything will go. If a problem now comes up, the first thing they ask you is, do you pay your tithe? If you've gone for counseling in churches now, do you pay your tithe? I say, yes, I pay my tithe. And you give offering. I say, I'm pastor, I give fat offering. And you come to church regularly. I say, yes. You're going to Baba. You go for our house fellowship. I'm a fellowship member. Be a fellowship where they be. Vigil from my church the night. Pastor, I don't miss vigil. I'm going to let you have a. Because as far as they're concerned, those activities are the things that constitute Christianity. It is a lie. As a matter of fact, the time that you should expect problem the most is when you have done nothing wrong. You have done everything God wants you to do, and then things suddenly go wrong. Every Christian must live with this consciousness. Things can go wrong when you have done nothing wrong. So don't begin to abuse your grandfather. Leave the man in peace. He has gone. People will start, oh, my grandfather, I dissociate myself from my ancestors. I break myself from my ancestors. Then they say, place your hand on your belly button, on that umbilical cord, so that you will cut whatever ties you to your ancestors. And say, my ancestors, I cut myself from you. My ancestors, I don't know you. I don't know you. I have power. Your ancestors have nothing to do with your problem. Satan has no hand in your case. I'm telling you. Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. Witches are more afraid of you than you are of them. The Bible says, greater is he who lives in you than he that is in the world. Believe me, if only God will open our eyes and we will see that the forces of darkness are afraid. They are. That's why they won't come and meet you in the afternoon. They will come at night. when it is dark and you can't see them, they know which will come and meet you in the afternoon. They are afraid. If a small child that is just learning to talk faces Lucifer and all the principalities and all the demons, and the little child just says, in the name of Jesus, all of them will fall down and they will be immediately. Because it's not the child, it is the one who is inside the child. Are you going along with me? I don't want you to go through life with fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that your life is going to collapse. Your life will not collapse. Because the person who is holding the entire universe is holding you in his right hand. Your life can't collapse. Things can't scatter. Are you playing along with me? He says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not permit you to be suffered beyond what you can bear, which means He is the one. Are you getting the point? It is God. It is not the devil. Let us stop glorifying Satan. He doesn't have the power that they ascribe to him. He doesn't. Jesus Christ has destroyed him. The person you are meant to focus on now is Jesus Christ. In whatever situation, turn your face to heaven and say, Lord, what are you doing now? As a matter of fact, if you have this understanding, you will just smile. You say, Lord, another problem, okay. Now let's talk. Lord, what are you doing now? Or what do you want me to do now? What am I doing now that I should not be doing? Why are you stopping me? Lord, just tell me. So that, you know, that is what is called spiritual maturity. When you get to the level in which you see difficulties and all you see is the Lord. What did the Lord tell Paul? When crisis came, let's go, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are we there? We start from verse 8. Paul discovered that he kept having a recurring problem in his life. A recurring problem. The problem kept coming up again and again and again. Verse 8 is, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He didn't look for a deliverance minister. Paul did not go to look for a pastor to go and pray for him. He went straight back to the Lord. And he besought the Lord. And what did the Lord say? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now, how many people can say, I take pleasure? Pleasure is, I enjoy. I delight. Are you along with me? I am happy. I like doing something. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Necessities means my needs are not met. In persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. But this is what the Bible says. But we don't do this. When the crisis comes, we start crying. We start looking for deliverance ministers. Then people start falling into the hands of charlatans, who will tell you, you must first bring 50,000 naira before they will pray for you. People will tell you, you must come to Orioke to come and meet Baba Kiakia before you can get deliverance. Let us rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Lord never said it will be easy. If your goal is to make heaven, the journey is not going to be easy. It's not an easy journey. Nobody is going to stroll into heaven. Nobody. Do you know what is waiting at the end? Nobody will put his hand in his pocket and be shouting and be singing, we are happy people, praise the Lord, for we are God's own work. Say thank you to God. Nobody will enter heaven like that. Whoever is going to enter heaven will enter with pains, Because Satan is fighting you with everything that he has to stop you from getting there. I take pleasure. That is, I think we should do I pray God to permit us to do a teaching on faith when we finish this one. How to pray. By the time God taught me how to pray, you don't pray and keep hammering the same prayer points over and over and over again. That's the way we have been taught to pray. Say, hold God, don't let him go. And begin to cry. You are just crying for fun. He's not listening. He doesn't listen, no. I take pleasure. Huh? The television got spoiled. Then the car broke down. And then the roof is leaking. And there is no money to do anything. And in the midst of it, somebody in the house falls seriously ill. And at that time, God expects you to turn your face to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that the television is bad. I thank you that there is no money to pay house rent. And that is how to pray. That is how to pray. I take pleasure. I pray God to give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus did not bring obedience from heaven. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The only reason why you are suffering as a Christian is because God is teaching you obedience. When the obedience is made perfect, there will be no more suffering. Because at that point, you will have reached the stage in which when anything goes wrong, you say, hey, I am out of tune with God's perfect will. Lord, where have I gone wrong now? Lord, what are you teaching me now? Lord, what next? Oh, that's a prayer I like very much. That's a prayer I enjoy praying. Lord, what next? When I'm doing something and something fails, I go back to my room, prostrate flat on my face, and I say, Lord, what next? And every time he will show, this is the new thing now, go in this direction. Let us learn to always go back to God. Are you here along with me? Don't take your problem to any man. They will use it against you later. Are you going along with me? Aha. If you say you need a confidant, there is no better confidant than the Holy Ghost. Tell him, Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm ashamed. Lord, can you believe he will not report you to anybody? He will not use it against you. The best person to talk to, believe me, is the Lord. You will draw strength. And when you go to the presence of God, go smiling. No matter how terrible the problem is, enter his presence. That I will enter your gates with thanksgiving. Go smiling. Because there is no problem that you have that is catching God by surprise. He knows. And he has the solution. And he's waiting for you to come. So why are you worrying yourself? May God give us understanding. Let us stop here. Let us pray. And ask the Lord. Lord, help us that our obedience shall be made perfect. That we shall understand. That we shall understand. That things are going wrong in your life does not mean that God has forsaken you. It does not mean that you are living in sin. It does not mean that you are stupid. It simply means God is teaching you a lesson that you have not yet learned. You've not learned it. Quickly learn your lessons so that you can make progress in life. Because God wants you to make progress. There are so many things that he has packaged for your life that are pending because of your disobedience. God created you, you want to run your life your own way. It's not possible. He created you. Your life has to go according to His way, not according to your own way. Pray that you shall be made perfect in obedience. Pray that you shall be made perfect in obedience. May God help each one of us to be perfect in obedience. Thank you, Lord God Almighty.